Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Aramex Q4 and full year 2024 results conference call. I will now pass the line to Anca, IR Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafal. Dear ladies and gentlemen, good day to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm joined by our executive leadership team, our CEO, Athmane Benzerroug, our CFO, Nicolas Sibouet, our COO for Express, Alaa Saoudi, and our CEO for Freight and Logistics, Mohammed Al-Haas. Today, we will discuss our Q4 and full year results for the year 2024 and provide you with an update on the offer process and timeline. All materials are available on our IR website and the DFM website. Before we begin today's call, I would like to draw your attention to page number two. Some of the comments made on this conference call today may be forward-looking statements based on our view of business and macroeconomic trends as we see them today. These elements, of course, can change due to a variety of factors, and therefore, you should not assume that we will continue to hold these views in the future. I will now hand over to Mr. Benzerroug for the opening remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Anca. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Aramex's financial results for the fourth quarter and the full year of 2024. This year has been a remarkable journey for us, marked by significant achievements in top-line growth and a series of strategic achievements that have solidified our competitive advantage in our key markets and have helped us gain both volumes and market share. I'd like to particularly highlight our regional strength in the GCC and MENAT, which both grew double digits year-over-year in revenue and gross profitability. In Oceania, we continue to execute our turnaround journey, and this market delivered almost 50% year-over-year growth in revenues and gross profitability. A major industry shift this year has been the acceleration of nearshoring, with businesses repositioning inventory closer to their consumer markets to improve delivery speed and flexibility. Our integrated solutions have enabled us to capitalize on this growing demand, positioning us as a key player in shaping the operational strategies of our clients. The nearshoring trend has had a profound impact on our business. What this means is that we are seeing more demand for local deliveries through our domestic express solutions and a shift from long-haul cross-border to shorter intra-regional cross-border activities through our international express product and trucking business. Our margin profile has adapted accordingly, while the business continues to grow at a healthy level in absolute terms. We have seen group revenues grow by 11% in 2024 to $1.7 billion, driven by volume growth across all product lines. Domestic volumes grew by 11%. International express volumes were up 20%, and our contract logistics business is operating nearly at full capacity. As you know, and as I have stressed in this before, scaling the business and bringing in more volume is key to our future as Aramex will benefit from economies of scale. Group gross profitability improved by 6% to $412, driven by growth and profitability from consolidated express product and our logistics product, which offset the pressure we have seen in our freight forwarding product. The gross profit margin for the full year was 24%, reflecting the new business mix in line with the nearshoring trend we have discussed. Our focus on cost control and operational efficiencies, and Nicolas will provide more details here, has helped us deliver an 11% year-over-year growth in EBIT and a 10% year-over-year increase in net profit. Aramex's strategic competitive advantage lies in our ability to offer integrated logistics solutions. Our diversified business model and disciplined cost management have ensured financial stability despite macroeconomic challenges and industry changes. We continue to invest in technology and automation, which will contribute to further efficiencies and help us unlock more value in our business. To end this, a major milestone for us in 2024 was the launch of our second technology hub in Pune, India, reinforcing our commitment to digital innovation. The hub plays a crucial role in developing AI-driven solutions that enhance routing, resource allocation, and operational performance. The integration of predictive analytics has already improved delivery efficiencies across key markets, further solidifying our competitive advantage. Before I hand over to Nicolas, I would like to briefly cover the acquisition offer. as you know, on February 9th of this year, received a conditional cash offer from Q Logistics to acquire up to 100% of the paid-up share capital of Aramex PJSC, not already held by Abu Dhabi Ports. Our board convened on the 11th of February to discuss the offer and the independent fairness evaluation provided by HSBC, which opinion considers the offer to be fair from a financial perspective for Aramex shareholders. The board has approved to recommend the offer to Aramex shareholders. The offer is open to our shareholders until the 10th of March. Our website provides all necessary information for those shareholders interested in the offer, and Emirates NBD is the receiving agent. With this, I hand over to Nicola for the financial overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Othman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I will cover the financial performance section and then provide an update on the progress of the offer we received last month from Q Logistics. We'll then open the floor to you for the Q&A. Let's start with our international express volumes on page 13, please, Anka. In Q4 2024, we delivered 7.2 million shipments, down from 7.6 million in Q4 2023. The quarterly performance is attributed to two factors. First, in Q4 2023, this was a record volume quarter for the company when we onboarded a significant new customer. And second, we are seeing the shift of volumes from our international express business towards the domestic express business due to the nearshoring that Othman explained. Nevertheless, the performance of Q4 is significantly above the volumes seen at Q2 and Q3, which reflects the end of the year seasonality. We expect to continue seeing this impact throughout the first half of 2025 as the nearshoring volume flows from existing customers. Looking at the full year performance, we saw a 20% increase in volume thanks to new customers, particularly in the e-commerce and retail sectors. Moving on to page 14, please. Our financial performance for International Express in Q4 2024 saw revenues of $167 million, a 6% decline from the previous year, which reflects the quarterly volume performance. As a reminder, this is not a volume loss, it is a volume leakage into our domestic express product. Looking at the full year, revenue for International Express grew 5% thanks to the strong growth this product delivered during the first 9 months of the year. Gross profit for Q4 2024 declined by 14% to 53 million, while the full year gross profit remained stable at $213 million. The gross profit margin of our International Express product, adjusted to the new business mix and namely the changes in customer profile and trade lanes adjustment, meaning less long haul and more cross-border activities taking place intra-region in DCT and MENAT, reflecting the near-shoring trends. The gross profit margin was 32% at both Q4 and full year 2024, compared to 34% for the same period last year. Now moving to domestic. Let's look at the volumes on page 15. We reported another quarter of double-digit growth in Q4 2024, driven by the strong demand in the GCC and MENAT regions, with volumes growth coming from the new customers' wins, as well as a volume transfer on International Express discussed just now. Our restructuring plan in Oceania also contributed to this growth thanks to the consolidation of the network operation in that market, which we have previously talked about. We are scaling up to accommodate more volume growth and are optimizing our operations accordingly. During the year, we strengthened our last mile network with more pick and drop off points and micro hubs. Moving to the financials of the domestic express, the revenue grew by 33% year-on-year in Q4 2024, driven by the volume growth we delivered in our key markets. This brings full-year revenue for our domestic product to $459 million, an increase of 18% in 2024 over 2023. Gross profit for Q4 2024 rose by 45%. And for the full year, it increased by 27%. The gross profit margin improved to 24%, up 200 basis points, thanks to the economies of scale associated with marginal increase in volumes. We are pleased with this performance. The team is doing a great job at scaling up and managing operation to accommodate the flow of volumes into our domestic network. Next page, please. Combining our international and domestic express product, looking at the whole express business on its own, we saw an 8% revenue growth in Q4 2024 and 10% growth for the full year. The gross profit margin in Q4 2024 was 28%, and for the full year, it remained stable at 29%. Our EBIT and EBITDA margins also remained stable and healthy for full year 2024 compared to 2023, allowing for the expansion of this product in absolute terms thanks to the double-digit growth posted for revenue, gross profit, and EBIT. Moving on to freight forwarding product. On page 18, let's look at the freight forwarding volumes first. We experienced good growth across air, land, and sea for the full year 2024. However, the operating environment remains extremely volatile, with dynamic pricing and rate fluctuation, as we discussed last quarter. On the following page, the freight forwarding revenue increased by 21% year-on-year in Q4 2024 and by 15% for the full year to $469 million. Despite this growth, we faced margin pressures due to increased competition and pricing pressure. We can see weaknesses in our freight products at the GP level and flowing down to the P&L. We are reassessing certain activities to stabilize margin and improve profitability this year. Moving to the logistics now. On page 20, please, Anca. Thank you. Our contract logistics revenue grew by 11% year-on-year in Q4 2024 and 6% for the full year 2024. Gross profit remained stable, with a gross profit margin of 17% for Q4 2024 and 15% for the full year. A couple of things we would like to note here. EBIT for Q4 2023 was positively impacted by one-time settlement of approximately $4 million, as discussed last year during our investor call. This boost in the previous year's EBIT created a higher comparative base, making the Q4 2024 EBIT appearing lower in comparison. GP devaluation also significantly impacted our results in 2024. If we exclude the impact of GP devaluation, revenue would have been $128 million versus a reported $124 million, and gross profit would have been $20 million versus a reported $19 million, with a corresponding margin of 16% for the full year 2024, which is 100 basis points higher than the reported GP margins of 15%. Despite currency exchange impact, contract logistics remains a core pillar of our growth strategy. Moving to page 22, let's briefly look at the product contribution to revenue and gross profit. All products except international express contributed to the double-digit year-on-year growth in revenue for the fourth quarter of the year. Looking at the gross profit contribution, domestic and freight posted good growth, while international express declined significantly. Logistics, when adjusted for the devaluation of GP, posted growth in gross profit. The gross profit margin for this product reflects the trend we discussed earlier, with more volumes flowing through our domestic network and warehousing business, reflecting a focus on local and intra-regional commerce activity and the nearshoring impact we discussed earlier. What this graph doesn't tell you is the strategic contribution that each product brings to our business growth strategy. We need the four products to offer our customer a flexible and integrated solution to be able to respond to the rapid changes our industry is undergoing. This is an important competitive advantage that Aramex has over players in the region. Moving to the group result on the following page. For Q4 2024, we saw solid revenue contribution from all products, with group revenues growing 11% year-on-year. This growth is attributed to volume increases and our strategic focus on sales specialism. Direct costs were effectively managed, leading to healthy gross profit growth of 3% year-on-year for Q4 2024 and 6% year-on-year for the full year. However, pressure on margin in international express and freight forwarding led to a contraction in group GP margin to 23.5% for Q4 2024 and 23.9% for the full year. Despite cost inflation, G&A expenses were well managed, confirming our focus on cost controls. Consequently, EBIT expanded 11% year-on-year to 81 million for the full year 2024. It's worth noting that our ETR, effective tax rate, for the full year was 25%, reflecting an increase due to non-recurring items and a change in the profit mix, as well as the implementation of corporate income tax in the UAE. We ended the year with 39 million in net profit, representing a 10% growth compared to 2023. For Q4 2024, net profit was 18 million, down from 21 million in the same period last year, primarily due to the decline in EBIT, which we just discussed. When looking at our group results, it is worth noting that the devaluation of foreign currencies, particularly the Egyptian pound, had a material impact on our financial results this year. If we exclude the EGP devaluation impact, are you still there?
We can hear you well, Nicolas.
Yeah, I just lost the connection. Just a second. If we exclude the devaluation of foreign currencies, particularly the Egyptian pound, which had a material impact on our financial, Aramex would have posted Q4 2024 revenue of $468 million, higher than the reported $462 million, and we would have posted a gross profit of $111 million against a reported $109 million GP, and a net income of $19 million versus the reported $18 million for Q4 2024. Moving to the regional breakdown, the GCC region contributed 39% to group revenue, with a 14% growth in revenue and 16% growth in gross profit. Other regions, such as Oceania and MENAT, also showed strong performance, with 47% and 23% revenue growth, respectively. However, regions like Europe and North Asia, which are outbound markets for us, faced challenges with declines in revenue and gross profit. Again, this is aligned with the trend we discussed. Moving to the free cash flow, in Q4 2024, we had a $21 million free cash flow, a significant increase over the previous quarter. This increase is attributed to robust performance in cash flow from operating activities, which helped offset negative cash flow from investing activities. We continue to focus on driving improvements in working capital and increasing operating cash flow. Finally, our focus on improving value creation. We are progressing with our recovery story, with the first sign of success visible. We remain focused on our strategy to unlock more value. Bringing in more volumes into our business is key, as we benefit from economies of scale. Technology and automation are helping us to become more efficient. We will continue to closely monitor our revenue growth, margin evolution, as well as the ROIC. We remain comfortable with our debt profile and capital position. This concludes the financial performance remarks. Before we open the floor to you for the Q&A session, I would like to provide you with an update on the offer process, what has been completed to date, and what the next steps look like. This is all the information we have available as of today and which we are sharing with you. We would like to emphasize that the offer is a voluntary cash offer, meaning that each shareholder has the discretion to decide whether to sell or retain their shares. The decision is entirely up to the shareholders. The management and the board of Aramex are aligned. The board has carefully assessed the offer and has recommended the fairness opinion provided by HSBC, which found the offer to be fair from a financial perspective for all shareholders. The shareholder circular, which includes the HSBC fairness opinion, is published on our website and on the DFM website. We have now completed our role in accordance with regulatory requirements. So let's have a look at the offer timeline and what you should expect next. The offer is open for acceptance from February 10th, 2025, until 3:00 P.M. on March 10th, 2025, and ENBD is a receiving bank appointed by Q Logistics. Detailed instructions for participating in the offer have been provided in the offer letter the shareholder circular, and published on our website and on the DFM website. We encourage all shareholders to read these documents in full and make an informed decision. After the offer close on March 10th, the result of the offer are due to be announced by the offeror on March 14th, 2025. The expected unconditional date of the offer is in Q3 2025. The unconditional date is a date on which all of the offer's conditions have been satisfied by the offeror and regulator, and the offer is deemed to be successful. It is expected by the offeror that all conditions will be satisfied by or before Q3 2025, at which point the transaction will be considered unconditional. Aramex shareholders who opt to tender their shares will receive their respective cash consideration within 3 days after the unconditional date. This means that shareholders should expect to receive payments in Q3 2025, or before, or on any earlier date should the offer condition be satisfied prior to that. Thank you for your attention and continued support. We hope this information is useful to you, our shareholders, and you consider the offer. Please understand during the Q&A, this is all we know in the terms of the offer for now. Let's now open the Q&A session. Rafal?
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. So we will now move to the question and answer session. If you are dialed in via the telephone, please press star 2 on your keypad. That's star 2 on your keypad for voice questions. If you are dialed in via the web, you may also ask a voice question or send your text via text box provided. We'll now give a moment or so for the questions to come in. So again, if you are dialed in via the telephone, please press star 2 on your keypad for voice question. That's star 2 on your keypad. If you are connected via the web browser, you may also ask a voice question or send your question via text with the box provided. Okay, we have a question from Mr. Nikhil from RAMS. Please go ahead. Your line is open now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for this presentation. Just quickly on the on this deal or the acquisition offered by Q Logistics. Can you give us a bit of scenario in terms of how much tender offers do you need apart from 80% stake? How much tender do you need from the shareholders for this deal to go through? What is the scenario in case, you know, at different percentage of tendering? What will be the scenarios? Just to get an understanding, you know, how we should look at it once, you know, we have this information, perhaps in the middle of March. Any comments on that, please?
Thank you, Nikhil. Nicholas, would you like to take this one?
Yes, sorry. Can you hear me? Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry, Nikhil. Aramex has completed everything that we have to do in the under the regulation. What I would suggest is that you look at we have a Q&A document that is available. There's a Q&A document that is available under the ENBD micro website that has been set up and that will answer most of your questions. We will also ask you to look at the regulation because everything is under the strict regulation of ESCA. And you have all the different scenarios there that you can anticipate. Once again, this call is about Q4 and full year 2024. We are not discussing in particular the offer beyond what we discussed, what we informed you just before that, Nikhil.
Okay. Thank you. One more question, if I may, on the financials. Can you provide some guidance on how this year, how we should look at 2025 in terms of volumes, especially in the domestic, because domestic was very strong in Q4, which was much stronger than what was the number for 9 months was. So for 2025, should we see a significant growth in volumes for domestic business and also the margins? So currently the margins were also very strong for domestic business in 2024 and also Q4. So is that the run rate? Is that the right run rate going forward, or can there be a bit of softness or maybe normalization going forward, please? Thank you.
That, Nicolas. So thank you for the question. In terms of the domestic express that you asked about, what we see is that for 2025 and beyond, we anticipate to strengthen actually the margins going forward of the domestic express. And this is because of actually the economies of scale and our expectation of the volume growth. As we mentioned during the presentation, that we're witnessing a nearshoring effect, regionalization of our customers from express to other products, and domestic actually is benefiting from that move. This is why we're expecting 2025 to be strong on both volumes and GP margins. Thank you.
And Nikhil, complementing on what Ala just said. Yeah. So yes, we believe that we will continuing seeing a very strong domestic product. We see the margin on the domestic product staying where they are with a slight upside on it based on additional volumes that just basically cover most of our fixed costs. So we are very, very, very comfortable with our guidances on the domestic product. And we believe that the trend we have seen in the last 6 months will continue in the first half of the year 2025 at least.
Sure. Thank you. That's very clear.
Okay. Thank you. We have a next voice question from Mr. Pankaj from SGA. Please go ahead. Your line is open now. Hello, Pankaj, your line is open now. Okay, maybe we'll return to Pankaj at a later stage. Next, we have a written question from Mr. Varun from Decimal Point Analytics. How much of the shift in business from international to domestic is handled by Aramex other segments? Ideally, international GPM is higher than domestic GPM. How much of the business is actually lost? With the shift in business, is it fair to assume that international GPM can inch lower as it loses operating leverage? Any guidance on the margin is helpful.
Yes. Let me take this first part of the first part of the question. So, what we typically have been seeing, Varun, in terms of the shift, the nearshoring impact, is that we have seen volumes moving from express international into domestic express and logistic. But we have also seen a secondary effect, which is a higher level of volumes. When we were basically looking at X volume in express, now we are looking at 3x, 4x times the same volumes going through the domestic express product. So we are seeing a significant increase of volumes through the domestic solution because you have localized inventory, you can deliver faster, and cheaper to the end consumers. So we are seeing an increased level of business. So in total volumes, we are seeing more volumes of shipments, of course, coming at a slightly lower profitability level. But if you look at the combined express, international and express domestic product, as we alluded during the call, we are seeing a very resilient global courier product with stable margins and increased revenue. So altogether, we are seeing a beneficial effect of this nearshoring to our operation at combined level, domestic plus express international. Alain, maybe you want to complement something?
Yeah, let me add to this,
Nicolas. Yeah. The nearshoring doesn't mean that it's purely domestic. Nearshoring means it's coming closer to our region. So a lot of our customers today will put their inventory in Dubai. So it's becoming a freight product coming into the region. And then we fulfill in our region, and then we do cross-border within our region. So the cross-border element has become shorter in terms of line haul when it comes to Dubai Saudi, Dubai Qatar, Dubai Kuwait, and so on. And that's why you're seeing this decline in international express revenue, because it's a shorter line haul. But then it's also it's a much closer element to our business. So the closer it is, the cheaper the cost is and the cheaper the revenue is. But at the end of the day, it's where the industry is heading. This is not something we can change. We're seeing that effectively all over the world now, even in Europe, where people are now direct injecting into local post offices, local authorities, and so on. And we're ahead of the trend now. So this is a very positive trend for us, that we are ahead of the game today when it comes to freight forwarding, logistics, and last mile within the region.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. So just a final reminder, for any remaining questions, if you are dialed in via the telephone, please press star 2 on your keypad. If you are dialed in via the web browser, you may also ask a voice question or send your text questions with the box provided. Okay, seems we have no further questions. So apologies. I see we have received a follow up question from Varun about in the guidance on the overall revenue growth for 2025 and margins for each segment.
Nicola? Maybe you can take that.
Yeah. No, I was again on mute. Sorry, everyone. We typically are not providing guidances yet. We are comfortable with the current growth patterns that we have seen over the past 6 months, and we believe that we will see a similar pattern over the next 6 months, i.e., similar growth in terms of domestic express solution. I would say a stable express international product over the next 6 months to 12 months. Freight forwarding will continue growing double digit at top line level, and the logistic activity as well will continue growing at top line level. We are also investing and have decided to invest quite significantly in incrementing the square footage of warehousing that we have in order to support the nearshoring and the localization of inventory in our core markets. And this is a very strong focus that the management and the path for RMX in the near future.
Okay, we also received from the same person a follow-up about warehousing. What is the current capacity, and what is the expected capacity addition over the medium term?
Alhaz?
Alhaz, maybe you can take that.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Our capacity now worldwide is around 800,000 square meters, and in our core markets, we are at maximum capacity. When you reach a capacity of 85%-90% of your warehouse, that means you're at a full capacity. We are trying to expand in our core markets, like in the UAE, Saudi, Egypt, and in Morocco. We already working on expanding our footprint in Dubai by another 40,000-50,000 square meters with a high roof ceiling that can create more capacity for a mezzanine racking system that can provide a lot of capacity for e-commerce nearshoring businesses. Saudi is the same, Egypt is the same, and we're trying to expand into other regions within Morocco, like Tangier and stuff, and the Tangier Med and the Free Zone there, but that's coming in the near future. But for now, we're focusing on our core markets in the region.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. So maybe just a final reminder, for any remaining question, please press star two on your keypad. And if you are dialed in via the web browser, you may also ask a voice question or send your questions via text with the box provided. Okay, we have received a final question from Varun, from Decimal Point Analytics. With so many good developments, why does the board think 3 AED is a fair price?
Yeah, Varun, we answered this question during the presentation from management. HSBC has delivered a fairness opinion, which has been endorsed and supported by the board and the management, as we deem the offer fair. And that's basically what we are disclosing today.
Okay.
Thank you, Nicolas.
Thank you.
Perhaps just a final reminder, and if no further questions, we can hand back to Mr. Othman Al Jaddah.
Yes, yes. So just final reminder, please press star two if you want to ask a voice question. You can also ask a voice question if you are dialed in via the web, or send your text question with the box provided. Yeah, I'm not seeing any further questions, so I will pass back the line to Aramex team for closing remarks.
Thank you. So these are, you know, this is a time where there's a lot of activity in Aramex from a shareholder perspective, as you know. We're under a tender offer now, which we unfortunately can't disclose much about, which is the information you received. But, you know, I think this is a positive future for us if it happens. But it's a business as usual for us. So whatever happens on a shareholder level, as management team, we'll continue to develop and grow our business lines. We're very optimistic about 2025. We are on the right track, and when it comes to nearshoring, which is the new era in our industry, you know, we have the right customers in our warehouses. You can see from all our results that we have been, you know, exceeding all our products. And I think this is a change in our industry. We have to adapt to the new changes, what's happening in our industry. It's being very challenged when it comes to a lot of Chinese e-tailers, a lot of Chinese e-players, and we are being disrupted. I think we have managed to be ahead of the game when it comes to that. We're in a region where this effect happened 5-6 years ago. It's happening in other regions today, in Europe and other places, where they're feeling the same effect, where nearshoring is now the future of our business. And it's a fact. People want their their consumers to be closer to them and their goods closer to the consumer. And that's where that's where all our product lines come in, whether it's air freight, it's logistics, it's last mile, it's domestic, it's actually giving the whole solution to the customer. And this is the future of our business. And not to back rail on anything, but the B2B business is also very important for us. So we continue to develop that side of the business where it comes to special verticals, be it oil and gas, be it retail, be it FMCG. We know there's demand into our regions. Our hubs are equipped to handle this business, and we want to grow this in the future. So the focus for us as management is to continue to grow all product lines and to ensure that our core markets is our specialty, and we are the best to equipped to deal with this.
Thank you very much. With this, we conclude the presentation. Nahal, over to you.
Thank you very much. This concludes today's call. I will be now closing all the lines. Thank you and have a nice day.